15, please. Revelations 15. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Your word is true and just. Thank you, Lord, that you are true, mighty God, and every man is a liar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Got to take this off. It's kind of warm up here. If I can get it off, come out of there in Jesus' name. Where's Dina? I'm caught. Come on up there. Praise Jesus. There it goes. I got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you just wanted me to come up. You were nervous, weren't you?
No. Yeah, get away from my coat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dean. You are a servant, the Most High. Sorry I had to kick you out of here. I didn't need you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And in Revelations 15:1, it says, John is saying this. John says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." If you don't mind, I want to read chapter 15, because it's a short one, and I want to go back, and we're going to talk about it a little bit, just a little bit, because we want to move on to 16. Let's just read this, and I'm reading, I think this is the King James. "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up with the wrath of God." Notice the language here. It says, great and marvelous. He's seen an image in heaven, great and marvelous. Verse 2 says, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his great mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." Let's go back and talk about a couple of things. Hallelujah. John says he saw another sign in heaven. Great and marvelous. Great and marvelous, O Lord God. The Song of Moses says that on down. Great and marvelous are you, O Lord God Almighty. He said, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. They had the seven last plagues. We're at the end of the tribulation. These are the seven last plagues going out of judgment. Next one you'll see, the next verses or chapters when we go there, you'll see how Babylon's dealt with, the great whore. We're going to see that in 17 and 18. And you'll see how God's grace and mercy and his kindness and his love, how the kingdom is set up and it comes down, how great that will be. But in here, this talks about the seven last plagues that they have. In Leviticus 26, 21, if you go back there and read, if you walk contrary to me, saith the Lord, I will bring seven times more plagues according to your sins. Now you say, we're in a new covenant. Well, okay. But still, if you walk contrary, you're actually walking as an antichrist. Anti to what he set up. Anti to what he's teaching. Anti what he is. So that would be contrary. And when it has seven times, so the plagues are being poured out, the end of tribulations, they're actually seven times more powerful, the judgment. So that's what we're going to talk about in chapter 16, the boils and the fire and the water turning, but we're going to see all that. This entire chapter is necessary introduction to the vials and the bowls of God's wrath, which represent the final awesome judgments of God upon the earth. Another great sign was seen in heaven, its context containing the seven last plagues filled with the wrath of God. The seven angels have these plagues. Now, these angels that have these plagues, they are not regular angels as created in the hierarchy. Okay? These are actually men of the redeemed that's taken the plagues to the earth. How do I know that? Because it says that in the next verse. These are men of the redeemed. These are not just angels. These men, whatever they did on earth, whether it was a fivefold ministry or whether they were true to their calling and their walk, and they finished their calling to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," these are the men that's going to judge the earth and take the plagues and pour them out on the earth. These men have been heaven in glorified bodies at the time of fulfillment of this book. As was previously noted in the early part of the book of Revelations, angels sometimes refer to men. We knew that in chapter 1. Angels had referred even to pastors, because pastors are messengers. So if they're messengers, then they're angels. These are redeemed men that, whatever they did on earth, are redeemed. Now they are angels. Angels, angelica, mean that they are men that can do the works of the Lord, even in his judgments. The literal translation messenger, according to Revelation 17:1, John was shown the judgment of the great whore and the beast that carried her. This was carried out by these angels. And when John fell down at his feet to watch him, he was told, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, of the prophets, of all them which keep the sayings of the book. Worship God." Supernatural beings are often depicted as benevolent celestial beings who act as intermediaries between God and heaven and humanity. Let's go on and read the sea of glass. "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire." We're going on to Revelation 5. "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over his number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." In this verse here, looked up the word epi. Epi means over and beside. So it's over, standing over, or standing beside. We look at the sea of glass here. And back in Revelations, I think it was chapter 5, where the sea of glass was before the throne of God. That sea of glass was people. That was in reference to all the saints praising him, because millions would give him praise. And harps of gold playing. Then the four beasts, the 24 and four elders, played the harps. But that was the sea. In this verse, a sea of glass here is actual sea of glass. When gold is purified, it's actually clear. So it looks like a sea of glass. Amen. So these were all those that come out of the tribulation. The tribulation still has to have the seven plagues finished. So these have come out of the tribulation. And back in chapter 6, Revelation 6, we talked about those who have been martyred, who are under the altar of God crying out, "Avenge us, O Lord God. When will you avenge our blood?" Because the blood speaks. Even when we plead the blood of Jesus on us, the blood is speaking. It's speaking, it's cleansing, it's purifying, it's speaking to us. That's why it's so important we take communion, we pray over the bread and the blood, because it's speaking to us. It's speaking redemption, it's speaking healing, It's speaking, we are forgiven for our sins. It's speaking to us. So that's the blood of Jesus. Even Cain and Abel, when Cain slew Abel, his blood, Abel's blood, spoke to God. Amen? So he's telling these saints, these martyred saints, to be patient. I will avenge thee, but be patient yet a little while, because he's going to wait till tribulation is over and all these seven plagues are poured out, and then he will avenge. That's why when I taught last time up here, I told you that when the blood was high as a horse's bridle, that's probably how many people they killed and tortured and laughed at and poured out their blood and drank their blood. That's probably how much blood over the years that they tortured God's people. And God just had enough. That's why his judgments are true and mighty. He had enough. So it's poured out in Armageddon as high as a horse's bridle. That's a lot of blood that's been shed. Amen? But they got victory over the beast and over the image and over his mark. Remember, church, we are going to be raptured out of here. I truly believe that. The more I've seen this in here, there is a pre-trib rapture. We're not going through the tribulation. Why would God, our Father, pour out his wrath on you? Your natural father never did that at home with the families, and God the Father in heaven certainly wouldn't do that. He's not a man, and he should lie. He's not going to pour out his wrath on his children. But those that don't repent, the wrath is going to be poured out on them. It's going to be real, as we're going to see here in chapter 7. And those people that's poured out on, they took the mark. They took the easy way out. The road is wide to destruction. It's wide. It's doing what's popular. It's doing what the people want. And this is one of the biggest problems in America and around the world now. We are doing what everybody else is doing. That's dangerous, of course, into the end times. So they take the mark because, obviously, you stand in a grocery line and somebody's writing a check and you get impatient. Don't you know? Don't you have a card? Don't. So even cards are going to become obsolete. Cash is going to become obsolete. They're going to say, we got a better way. You're too busy. Here, take this mark. Take the mark of the beast and just go ahead about your business. We'll just flash the mark and you just go on. So it's going to be an easy way. It's going to be a way, well, you know, we all started giving this mark to people who are handicapped. No, they don't have no problem. How about you? You take the mark. So we know you're busy and you have things to do. Just take the mark. And so people are going to fall for that. So these people did. But once they did that, wrath will be poured out because it's too late. There's no turning back, as we're going to see as we go on. So these people, these redeemed saints, they got victory over that. They didn't take any of that. They stood fast on the word of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Thank you, Lord. The song of Moses. We're going to go to the vision of the Holy Temple resumed. I didn't lose my place here. 3:2-4. Okay. Yeah, we're going to go right there. Praise you, Lord. Let me start at 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials for the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, from his power. Now Moses couldn't enter into the temple even when he was on earth because of his power, the smoke. And even in heaven, the temple, God is the temple there on his throne. They left because when God poured out these vials, he wanted to be alone, as a father would be, because now he has to not only bring correction, but he has to bring actually annihilation to children that he loves. And God loves all men. God wishes that all men are be saved. He doesn't delight in judgment. God does not delight in judgment. So that's why he said you make fun of his enemies. He doesn't delight in that. He doesn't delight in seeing somebody's life just wiped out. But now he's inside his temple. And I believe on this time when they left, they could not go in there. I believe he was crying. I believe he was weeping tears because they would not repent. And I believe that Jesus, as Jesus sung over Jerusalem and cried, God's doing the same over the nations. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why have you not repented? My hand was to thee and I love thee, but you would not come. And that's a lot of problem with a lot of the people now. They have everything they want. They have no need. And they think because they have everything, want no need, that they don't need God as well. But that's a lie. That's the deception of the enemy. We need God. We need God to keep us on an even keel. We need God to keep us so that we have wisdom, so that we can think right, so we can speak right, so we can do right things. And we're not carried away by the lust of our flesh. And you know what the lust of the flesh is. I don't have to name them. But that's why we need God. Even when money, we have money and we're prospering, we need the wisdom of God to do with that money that God wants us to do with it, to bless people, to feed the poor, to give into our churches through not only just tithe. We teach tithe, but listen, you give into the churches, give alms and offerings and give them to the poor. And we have poor in our churches. We have poor in our streets, in our community. That's what we dare do, to give that, and not to hoard it up and say, well, I'm rich. That would be the first mistake that we could ever make. Yeah. Amen. But these people here didn't do that. They took the mark of the beast. And so here at the temple, God's really sad, but it's something that he has to do. There's no turning back. They have to be dealt with. If sin is not dealt with, then it is corruption and death. And so that he has to deal with that on this earth. This earth needs cleansed. This earth needs cleansed from man's corruption. And this is what these vials on earth poured out. That's what they're going to do. But even then, men still don't repent. And we'll see that as we go on. That was really amazing to me, because it wouldn't take a lot to make me repent. But apparently, they were so in love with ourselves and their vanity and their minds that God gave them over to reprobate mind. And once he did that, then their heart, their conscience was severed. They had no feeling. They have no emotion. They could cut you with not even think about it. So that's in the temple. And he said, I saw another sign. And let me go on here. It says, and smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues and the seven angels were fulfilled. I want you to see in that verse just God's heart. Because even when the we're going to see, even when the vials are poured out, he's waiting on repentance. Pastor said that up here. Even the worst murderer in heaven can turn around and repent and go to heaven. Even in the parable, it talks about those coming into the vineyard late. And their work in the vineyards was short, and they got the same reward as you. And the parable says, did you not agree? Did you not agree to accept Jesus at a young age? Did you not agree to accept Jesus at an older age and be saved? God wished that all would be saved. In that light, God's sorrow for men really touched my heart, because then when you go out in the streets, we have a habit to judge right away. We do. That's our human frailty. You can't get away with that, though you have to really avoid it. Say, no, I'm not thinking that about him. But once we do that and get rid of that judgment, you're able to move in God's love and go up to somebody and say, how you doing, brother? how are you today? And we've done that, Nick and I, and you'd be surprised what love does. Because love has no borders, no walls. Love penetrates all that. Love goes through all the prejudices and the opinions. Love just goes right through to the heart. He said, yeah, I'm not having so good of a day. Well, brother, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? Because I know Jesus can change your life. And that's what we're called to do, church. That's what we're called to do. We're going to move on to verse 16, or chapter 16. This still touches me because this is something God didn't want to do but has to do to cleanse the earth. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshiped the image. Ever have a boil? Anybody ever have one? They're about an inch wide, and after length of time, pus comes out of them. They're very, very sore. When he uses the word grievous, that's what they are, because you can't think of anything else. These boils are poured out on men. And instead of repenting, the amazing thing to me, they curse God. They curse. Instead of repenting, they curse God. They knew God was real. They knew he existed. They knew that because of all the things that have been going on through the tribulation. So they knew God was, they were under judgment, but they wouldn't repent. Even the boils that they were sore and couldn't lay down. One version said that, yeah, you can't bow before your God, the Antichrist. Because the boils would hurt you. You'd get such pain just bowing down. Yep. They still didn't repent. Listen to the Holy Spirit right now. There's things that we do that think are common, but we should repent for too. Come on. Don't ever be in that situation where a thing you did or a thing that you do that you just didn't repent for. And church, our words, once we get a hold of how powerful our words are, because God created with words, if we are Jesus Christ and we have all power in heaven and earth, our words will go forth and judge. Our word will go forth and destroy a character if we don't watch. Our words will go forth and get someone saved. Either way, our words, you've got to get a hold of that, church, how powerful your words are. And a second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. It says the blood of a dead man. It says, this doesn't say it's going to be the blood of a living man. It's going to be blood of a dead man. Well, of course he's dead. Well, of course, a dead man's blood is coagulated. Did you know that? It's not just, it's, after a while, it gets thick. Almost gets thick like pudding. So that's what's going to happen to this sea. Remember? Seven times, this was poured out in Egypt. It turned red. What's going to be seven times stronger now in the sea? Some said this was the Mediterranean Sea. I don't know. Could have been a Dead Sea. I don't know. But it was poured out. And a third angel poured out a vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now there's no water to drink. Because the fountains are coagulated blood. The pure rivers and stuff are coagulated blood. Now they're drinking blood. They have no choice for their thirst. Because they drank the blood of the saints down through the ages. God gave them the recompense reward. Amen. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and which was and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And a fourth angel poured out the vial upon the sun, the power of the sun given unto him to scorch men with fire. And even the sunny days, they're going to be in pain. They're going to get scorched, even the sunny days. And I don't know how this goes. I don't know how God's going to do this, whether it's cosmic rays just burst from the sun and go in the earth and just scorch men. I don't know how they're going to do that. But I know they are going to be in pain. Now, think of this, because they already have the boils. They already have the thirst. It's just never quenched, so they're thirsty. And now cosmic rays from the sun are going to come out. Blast of fire is going to come and burn them. But you know what, church? They didn't repent. They did not repent. How in love could you be with sin that you would not repent? God's mercy still, he has mercy. Even though this is poured out on them, he still wants them to repent. That's powerful, church. You'll never understand that kind of love that God has, but that's powerful. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seal of the hearts, seal of the beast, I'm sorry. And the seal of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues of pain. Here they're scorched by the sun. All of a sudden now it's pitch dark. Anybody ever been in pitch dark? Where you put your hand in front of you, you just can't even see nothing. That's what this is going to be like, pitch dark. They're not going to be able to take one step without tripping. Now they've got the boils. They got burns over their body. Their thirst is not quenched. And now they're walking forward and they're falling down. They're falling over things that they think's there. It's not, because they can't see. Verse 11, what do they do in verse 11? They blaspheme the God of heaven. Because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw the three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. He says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Even those that are trusting in God have to keep believing God, and don't be deceived, because they would be naked then. That keep those things that are right. And these spirits going forth, they're going forth to make war. They're going forth to deceive them, to tell them to come. Let's go against Jerusalem. Let's go plunder them. We don't have to take this. Let's go. Let's all get together. Now, they would have to be pretty vain to think that they could win and come and force God to change his mind and repent. You'd have to be pretty vain to think that. But that's what, when they built the Tower of Babylon, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to build a tower to heaven so they would be higher than God. Well, how foolish is that? That spirit of Babylon is still here. And when those frogs going forth, that's the spirit they're using to deceive them to get an army to come up, come against Jerusalem. Of course, we talked about that. You know what happens there. And he gathered them, and God gathered them together in one place called Hebrews Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and was a great earthquake. Such was not seen upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake. It was so great. This was a great earthquake. I can remember back in the 60s, I was at my sister's place, and there was an earthquake. I think it was 5.5 on a Richter scale. And we were sitting having coffee, and that floor was actually shaking. I said, what is that? It's an earthquake. And it must have lasted 15, 20 seconds, but it seemed like it was a half hour. I mean, everything just shook. And that was a 5.5. This is a great earthquake. It's going off the Richter scale. You can't measure it. But listen what it says. And this great city was divided into three parts, Jerusalem, from that earthquake. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of wine of the fierceness of his wrath. There it is, church. And every island fled away. The mountains were not found. Think about that. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. I looked this up. It said them stones were 100 pounds apiece. They averaged 50 to 100 pounds apiece coming out of the sky. And what did men do? They blasphemed God. Because of the plagues of the hail, for the plagues thereof were exceedingly great. Even today, when we witness to somebody, even out in the streets, you know in your spirit when you tell them about Jesus. I'll give you a good example. When we did Brighton Rehab, we left. We had a great service. Pastor Jack, you came out. Wasn't it a great service there? And we were leaving. All of them were ahead of me, and I was walking back. And I talked to the gentleman behind me because he didn't come to the service, but I knew him, and I always talked to him. And I said, you're blessed, brother, and you're going to heaven. God loves you. And this lady was walking right beside me, and she looked at me like, I says, well, you going to heaven? Is Jesus in your heart? She says, absolutely not. Well, right away, I knew that she would probably have some religious sect. I don't know what it was. It doesn't believe in heaven. So I'm not going to pursue that because I know in my spirit I'm not going to waste my time, right? So I told her that you can go to heaven. She says, there's no heaven. I said, sure there is. Jesus Christ is the way. If you want to go, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man get to the Father except by him. Do you actually believe that? I said, yes, I do, ma'am. Yes, I do. Jesus is the only way. And I walked because I knew. But even today, we tell those about Jesus, they're not going to accept Jesus. They are anti-Christ. There's a God. Pastor, you taught this. There's a God. But there's not a Christ. They don't want a Christ. Because they don't want their lives to change, church. They are comfortable in their own lives. They don't want it. They're comfortable with what they're doing, what they're saying, how they're living. And they're not going to change. Well, I know that. So even through this tribulation period, people do not want to change their lives. They don't want Christ in their lives. So what am I saying with all this? We still have to spread the word. I say this every time, and I'm not getting off this because, you know, we're going out every week. We're alive. We're alive. We're telling them about Jesus. Whether, you know, if they don't want to hear it, wipe the dust off your feet. Keep going. Amen? But we have to tell them because, remember, God the Father in the temple weeping, my opinion, but I believe he was weeping. It's like Jesus wept. Church, don't lose that compassion. Don't lose that compassion to where you would weep for somebody to see them in a way that they don't even acknowledge God. We need that compassion and that love. That compassion works by love. Once you have the love of God and you speak that forth, you're without opinion, prejudice. You're coming right at them. You're telling them the love of God. Because that's what we need to do. Because church, I'm telling you, hell is real. Hell is torture. And most of you here, I know we talk about our families, and most part they're saved. But those that are not are going to hell. And I still use this example because I believe it was a strong example. Jesus Christ called this man and he says, look out there. And all the people were marching. And as they were marching, it was falling off a cliff. He says, Lord, what is that? He says, those are people that did not believe me, and they're going to hell. They're going off the cliff because they're on the wide road, and they're going to hell. He says, Lord, he says, what do we do about that? He says, that's terrible. He says, it is terrible. He says, but you need compassion. He says, look again. He looked at him. He says, Lord, I see the same. He says, no, look harder. And he seen the face of his friends. He seen the faces of his family. He seen faces of those who he loved dearly going to the edge of the cliff, dropping off, and going to hell for eternal, to burn eternally. And that's what rings in my heart most, is I don't want to see him going to hell. They can fight me all they want, but at least I told them. At least they heard that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They cannot deny it. And when they come before Christ, they're going to ask Christ, Father, let me in. He's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. Depart from me because I never knew you. I don't ever want to hear that. Not on my watch. I will tell them that Jesus is Lord. I'll not hold you up anymore. I hope you enjoyed these two chapters. This is the end of the judgments. And it gets exciting in 17 and 18. So be blessed. Go in God's speed and his strength. I love you. Thank you for letting me.